السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we have been discussing the verses of Surah Mu'minun. Last week we were discussing the fulfillment of obligations of trust, that the obligation of trust is upon each and every person. We should not only consider trust to be someone handing us some gold or silver or money and asking us to keep it safely, so it becomes an obligation to keep it safely and then return it to him. That kind of trust we all know, although there is so much of abuse even in that kind of trust. Because if the person says that this money that I am giving to you is to be kept in trust, it is an amanat, then there is no way that this person can use it for his personal business or anything of that nature with this intention that when I will have my money, I will replace it. It has been mentioned that many people, they lose their iman. They lose their iman because of this type of betrayal of trust. That the person was given a sum of money and he was told that this is an amanat. I am going overseas, or I don't have a safe place to keep it, so you keep it as a trust. Now this person leaves it as a trust and he goes away. So the person who is holding it as a trust thinks that I am expecting some money next week, next month, so let me use this now. It's not that he wants to steal. He is using it with this niyat that he will replace it. Even that is betrayal of trust. And sometimes the person is unable to replace it, and there is no record of it. There is nothing in writing. It was given in trust. And then this person's death comes. Now he claims from the heirs, he says, I left with your father 100,000 rands. He says, no, we only have record, or we have in the safe 50,000. So what happened to the other 50? He says, well, I don't know, there's nothing in writing. So you can see how dangerous it is. And this is another area of weakness. Islam is not just namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Islam gives us direction in every aspect of our lives. And anything that will create dispute, argument, problems, then Islam gives us direction. Now in this case, what the person should have done is that made it very clear to the person who is leaving it with him as a trust, that look, I don't have the place to keep it safely, but if you trust me, then I will use it. You want your money after 1 month, you want it after 6 months, so you give it to me as a loan. You are trusting me, that is why you want to leave it with me. So you leave it with me, I will give it to you after 2 months, but at present I will treat it as a loan. Now it becomes permissible for this person to use that money. So it's not that Islam stifles you. It's not that it becomes difficult to practice. It's not that our businesses will suffer losses, or that we will not be able to breathe. For everything there is a way, but it must be done the proper way. If a person just goes and has an association with some woman, we will call it zina. But if he makes nikah, it's just two words, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, in the presence of witnesses and a little bit of mehr, and now that becomes halal. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us a way out for everything. It's not that we are, that life is made very difficult for us. So now in this case, when the person is giving this money in trust, you make it clear that no, I will treat it as a loan if you want to leave it with me. Then this person can use it. So that is another area where there's plenty of abuse, that the person leaves large sums of money and after some time when he asks for it, there is no sign of it. Or he says, I used it up. So it is betrayal of that trust. And Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so many times you have heard this hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, and that is the purpose of listening to it repeatedly, that it strengthens our iman and makes us practical, not that we just listen from one ear and out from the other. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Ayatul Munafiq Salas, the signs of a hypocrite and a munafiq are three. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, when he speaks lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, and when he promises, then he breaks the promise. وَإِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ خَانَ, and when he is entrusted, then he betrays the trust. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that these are signs of a hypocrite, signs of a munafiq, that this person's iman is very, very weak. These were traits of the munafiqs and the hypocrites in the time of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that وَإِن صَلَّى وَصَامَ وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمْ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that these three signs of munafiq, that whoever has these three traits, then it is a trait of a munafiq that is in him, of a hypocrite. Even though he may be making namaz, the person who speaks lies, breaks his promises, and betrays the trust, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, even though he may be making namaz, fasting, and considering himself as a Muslim, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says he's a munafiq. That means this person is making namaz also, he's fasting also, and only two things have been mentioned, namaz and fast. So that doesn't mean only namaz and fast. What it means that he's got all the other traits of a Muslim. He is giving charities also. He is making zikr, he is making tilawat, he is doing deen work. He is engaged in zikr and ibadat. He is making umrahs and making hajj. He is doing all those things. But when he speaks lies. When he makes promises, he breaks those promises. And when he is entrusted, he betrays that trust. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that person, even though he considers himself as a Muslim, but in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is a munafiq. Now what a hard and a harsh term, rahmatul lil alameen, used for those people who have these traits. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is rahmatul lil alameen, and he is saying that this is what this person is doing. That he is considering himself as a Muslim, but with these traits he is not a Muslim, he is a munafiq. We must be grateful to the jurists that they found a way out for us. That they said, no, this person is not a munafiq khalis like the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It means that he's got some traits of those munafiqs. It's just like when it comes to salat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that man taraka salata mutaammidan faqad kafar. The person who left out a namaz, then he has committed kufr. Then we must be grateful to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and others. They said what it means that he has got some traits of kufr in him. Otherwise we would have been declared kafirs. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again warns that whosoever has these traits, then it is munafiqat, that the person is making. So in these ayats of Surah Mu'minun which we are discussing, last week we were discussing, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, that they honor their covenants, their commitments, their contracts, they fulfill their promises. They faithfully honor all this. Then only they can be considered to be believers. Now if we have to look at the history of Islam, we find such incidents that it just baffles our imagination that what kind of people were in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And what kind of teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And how truthful and honest Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was. And especially when it came to the fulfillment of promises. There are so many things we can still discuss about trust, but let us discuss something about promise also. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Huzaifa and his father Yaman, both of them, they were coming through to Madinah Sharif. They had just accepted Islam and they were on their way to Madinah Sharif. So on the way they met up with Abu Jahl. Now Abu Jahl was going to Madina Sharif or to Badr with his army, 1,000 people fully armed, and they were going on their way. So they got hold of Hazrat Huzaifa and his father. So they asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Madina Sharif. Why are you going? No, I'm just going there to meet the Prophet ﷺ. He says, no, I know if you are going to go there, you will be joining them in battle. Now at that stage, there was no battle already announced. Nabi ﷺ was not setting out for a battle at that stage. It was only afterwards that he came to know about this army on their way. So he said, no, we know if you are going to go there, you will join them in a battle against us. So we are not going to allow you to go, unless you make a promise. So now Hazrat Huzaifa and his father, they made a promise. They said, no, we are going to go there just to meet him, but we are not going to join him in any battle against you all if some battle takes place. So they allowed them to go. Now when he came over to Madina Tayyibah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was on his way to Badr. Now he meets up with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the way. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks them about their coming. And then they informed that on the way we had met Abu Jahl, and this is what happened, and they allowed us to come through, and we made a promise that we are not going to join you in any battle against them. But now that you are out on your way to Badr, we want to join you, because they are enemies of Islam, so we want to join you and fight against them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now look at that character and akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, no, if you made a promise to them and you came, so I cannot allow you to join us. Now there were only 313, and every individual was very valuable at that moment in time. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no, you made that promise. They said, yes, but we were made to make that promise under pressure. We were coerced into it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, whatever it is, but you made that promise and you came. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not want that any person must point a finger that he broke the promise, or he encouraged somebody else to break the promise. Look at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's incident we find in the books of history. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquers Jerusalem. And after it is conquered, now they were made to pay jizya or tax. The people of Jerusalem were now made to pay jizya or tax. They were not told that you must get out of the country or anything of that nature. They were given rights, and they were given such treatment that we do not even give our brothers these days. They were given protection of their wealth, of their property, of their families and everything. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu promised them everything, and he left behind a number of soldiers there that they must ensure that these people that are resident there, the Jews and others, the Christians, their property, their wealth, their children, their families, nobody is harmed in any way. And for that they will pay a tax. After some time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a need to send an army to another place. So somebody said that, why do we draw from here? We rather send those people that are there, the soldiers that are guarding there in Jerusalem, we rather move them to that place. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, yes, but first gather all those people who are paying tax and tell them that we had made a promise to you, that for the payment of your tax, we are going to safeguard, we are going to protect your lives, your properties, your homes, your family, your children. So for this year, whatever tax you paid, you take your money back, because we will not be able to fulfill that promise that we made to you. So this time you take your money back, whatever tax you paid, because our army, our soldiers are going to be moved from there. Now you think those people won't accept Islam with this kind of character, with this kind of amal, with this kind of action, with this kind of fulfillment of promise and trust and contract and agreement? Otherwise, what would have stopped him from saying, well, you are already captured and conquered, now what does it cost us if we break the promise? So they left behind for us such examples that there must be no betrayal of trust and there must be no breaking of promises. Yes, the person has promised and he has every intention of fulfilling that promise, but due to unforeseen circumstances, he is unable to fulfill that promise. Then he must inform that person that I had every intention of fulfilling my promise, but unfortunately I cannot fulfill it. So you give me some time, or you forgive me. Or a person has, therefore, before he makes any kind of appointments, he must check whether he can fulfill that appointment. There are many of us who will just give appointment. Yes, I will see you 12 o'clock. I will see you 1 o'clock. I will see you 3 o'clock. But the person knows that at 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever time he has given, it may not be possible for him to see that person. So now then, don't make a promise that I will see you exactly at this time, because you are going to delay that person by half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it is. And that is the breaking of a promise, and it is sinful, because you are causing iza, you are causing taklif to another person. This is something we have taken out of our dictionaries and out of our Islamic way of life. So make some namaz, make some zikr, make some tilawat, do some deen work, and forget about the promises and everything else. People give PDCs and they are gone. Where are they gone? Gone for umrah, gone for hajj, gone for deen work. And this person is waiting for his money. Where his father gone? He's gone for hajj, nafil hajj. He's gone for nafil umrah. Or he's gone for deen work. Or he's gone to some khanqa, to some sheikh. Or he's gone here and there. But the promises that he has made is not being fulfilled. And the person thinks, I'm a very good Muslim. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, even if he's making namaz and he's fasting, and even if this person is considering himself as a Muslim, but he's a munafiq, he's a hypocrite. Now, how dangerous it is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions a hadith, and four times Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned it in his Bukhari Sharif, of two people, two friends, the Bani Israel, that they were friends. One was living on this side of the river and the other was on the other side of the bank. And they required a small boat or ship or something to move them from this end to the other end. So this friend asked the other friend for a loan. He says, I'm in need of 1,000 dirhams if you can give me a loan. But I will pay you on a certain date. He fixed a date. So on that particular date that the loan was fixed for payment, it so happened that due to heavy rain, the river was in flood. Now this person decided to go and pay the friend, but he couldn't go across because he couldn't get a boat to take him across. And the rain was persistent, it continued for a couple of days. So on that day that he had promised that I will send you this money, or I will give this money to you. So what did he do? Imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning it, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi records it four places in his Bukhari Sharif, showing the importance of the fulfillment of promise. He says that this person goes to the river bank and he says, oh Allah, I wanted to pay. I'm just explaining to you the hadith. He says, oh Allah, I wanted to pay this person on time because I had fixed the date. But how do I go across? There is nothing to take me across. And my friend on the other side is waiting, but it is beyond my control and beyond my means. So what do I do? So he found a log. He made a hole in that log and he put 1,000 dirham in there. And then he wrote on one letter also the same story, that I was coming to pay you this money, but unfortunately due to the high waters, I cannot come across, but I am putting this and sending it to you as promised on due date. He puts that, closes that log and he puts it in the water. And he makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and he returns home. When the river subsides, when the waters become low, and when there is a boat to go across, then he takes another 1,000 dirhams now and goes across. And he goes to his friend and he says that this is what happened on the day that I promised to pay you. I was unable to pay you because of the waters rising very high on account of the heavy rains and floods. So this is what I had done, that I had put 1,000 dirhams in a log and I had put it into the water. But it's possible that the money did not reach you. So therefore I have brought the 1,000 which I owe you, and now you can accept it. Now what did that friend say? He says, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his fazal allowed the log to reach me. And I was on the other side waiting for you, but because I was also in need of money on that day that you had promised to pay me. But I understood now the waters are high and you cannot come across. So I was going back home disappointed when I saw a log floating and coming towards me. So I thought, well, I cannot get anything else, at least take this log, dry it up and use it for firewood. But then I heard the sound of money inside. So when I opened it, it was your 1,000 dirhams. Included in it was your letter. So I received the money. Now look at this person's niyat, because it was such strong intention of payment and his niyat was firm that he did not want to betray that trust that his friend had placed in him and he did not want to break that promise, therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of his qudrat and fazal allowed that money to reach his friend. And then again it proves that and shows that how honest his friend was, because if it had been one of us, then we would have said, what do you expect me to receive money through a log that was put in the water? What do I know where that money went? You bring another 1,000 now. So we would have taken that 1,000 and taken another 1,000 too. Because that was no payment as such, putting it into the water and saying you must receive it that side. That's not payment. That he did it to fulfill a promise. But his intention was, as soon as the water goes down, I'll take the other 1,000 and go and give it to him. Now these are the type of incidents we find in the books of hadiths, in the history of Islam, placing so much of emphasis on the fulfillment of promises, placing so much of emphasis on the fulfillment of trust and the obligations of trust. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not want to look at how much of namazas we make, how much of nafil ibadat we make, or how much of nafil rozas we keep, or how much of hajj and umrahs we make, or how much of dini activities we engage in, or how much of khanqahs we go and sit down and make zikrullah. He wants to see this fulfillment of promises and the fulfillment of the obligations of trust. Now, how many people are complaining these days that the person promises, and to give you even more kind of satisfaction, the person makes out PDCs and gives it to you. And what PDC means, please don't cash, keep it. That's what it means. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing into our lives those qualities of Muslims, of mu'min. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life and an opportunity, after another fortnight we will continue, because I'll be away in Zambia for about a week. Make dua, Allah make the programs successful. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.